You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy. The following podcast contains spoilers and rude words. We watch a thing. We watch a thing. Hello, all you beautiful people out there. Dave and I are here with you again. We love every single one of you, don't we, Dave?
We do. Well, almost every single one. There's one or two of you, and you know who you are.
Yeah, you guys are c***s. But the rest of you are great.
Yep.
And that's why we do this. That's why we're here. And this week, we're not talking a movie. We didn't watch a thing. We are here to talk our top guilty pleasure horror movies. Because I did have guilty pleasure movies down on the schedule. Dave took one look at it and said, we've done that. Which... We actually haven't. We did our guilty pleasure comedies, and so that's why we decided. Well, the other thing that we sometimes feel guilty about is our love of, well, certainly me anyway, love of bad horror movies. So how did you go about making this list? Did you find this easy or tricky?
Easy to come up with, tricky to narrow down.
Okay, yeah. I found mine pretty easy. In fact, I'm going to start this week because my number 10 is the movie that... inspired me to write this topic down. When I was going through the schedule, I was like, oh yeah, because I was doing it while watching this movie when I should have been watching something else, like, I don't know, Monarch or fucking any of the other things that a million people had told me to watch. Instead, I was sitting there with a bag of chips and French onion dip, which is my other guilty pleasure, watching Fantasy Island.
Oh my God.
And I knew that you'd be happy about that. I knew that Paul from The Countdown would love that one because he fucking hates that movie. But Jeff Wadlow's masterpiece. I actually genuinely love this movie. The day I saw it, I did it as a triple feature. I was away for work. I had some free time. And so I went to the cinemas. I saw this, Harley Quinn Birds of Prey, and Sonic the Hedgehog. And this Jesus was easily wet. The best of that afternoon. I loved it. I loved this. Was a great ride.
You thought this was better than Birds of Prey? I mean, Birds of Prey is not great,
but yeah,
it has redeeming features.
I really liked this movie. Yeah. Look, I'm not like high on it. I know that this isn't a good movie, but it's fun. I have a lot of fun with this. It's just, it's silly in the right places. It's the only qualm I had about putting it on this list is that it's not scary in any way. This is not a horror movie. And I actually don't think this movie even tries to be. I think it was poor marketing. And obviously the partnership with Blumhouse makes people expect that. But, you know, this is a fun ride. I'm here for it.
Let me just read you just this short snippet. I don't even know where to begin describing how bad this film is. The script is so replete with gaping holes, it is incomprehensible how it ever made it into production. I kept hoping the numerous, quote-unquote, reveals would somehow bring things together and make sense of the egregious
inconsistencies. Is this your Letterboxd review of this movie?
Continually through the movie.
Is this your Letterboxd review?
Each twist only serves to make what I laughably term the plot even more fucking stupid.
I'm sure
maybe the worst film I've seen in the last year.
I'm sure I can just as easily turn this around on you, mate, when you start going. So give me your 10 then.
David Powell, Letterboxd. Yeah.
Give me your number 10.
My number 10, I doubt you've actually seen, to be honest. It's a film called Snatchers.
Snatchers? I have not heard of Snatchers.
It's I don't know where I came across it. I think reading I think it premiered at Southwest.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe that's where I came across it, and then found it through means. It concerns a young high school girl called Sarah, who's sort of one of the popular girls in the popular clique at school, who has sex for the first time and the next morning wakes up 9 months pregnant with an alien.
Yeah, okay.
And
that
you
sounds
know,
sick.
I love this movie. It is so funny. She goes to like the family health clinic to get looked at. Ends up birthing an alien that looks like kind of looks like a smaller version of the cockroach Edgar from
Men in Black. Men in Black, yeah.
And eventually finds out, no, it's twins. And then it's just this, it's an old school, gory, practical effects monster movie.
Yeah, right. That sounds great. I'm going to add that to my
super
list.
Super funny. I have seen this about 5 or 6 times. It's it never gets old. The dialogue is hilarious. Mary Nepi, who plays the main girl Sarah, is so good. Her comic timing and delivery is amazing. She's not been in anything else. She must have a career ahead of her because she's so good. But
yeah,
there's not really anyone hugely well known in it. Off the top of my head, let me think. Who plays her mum? Can't remember. Her mum's played by someone who's vaguely recognizable, but
yeah,
it's largely a nothing. It's first time writer directors who've done, like, I think it was based on a short film they did.
Yeah, but okay, yeah.
It's from nobody, but it's the practical effects are fantastic. It feels like an old sort of 80s, early 90s monster movie.
This doesn't sound like it should be that guilty. That sounds just like a good movie, Dave.
Well, the way I approach this, because I'm not ashamed of liking any of these things. None of these are like
Me neither. That's why I had to go to the
I know that I shouldn't like Your Highness.
Yeah.
I admit that. Nothing on this list, I think. So what I've done is if my liking of a film is significantly higher than like their average Letterboxd review,
or
people I know thought, no, it's not that great.
Pretty much my whole list is like that.
That's kind of where I've come at things.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number 10 was there to kind of set the scene. I knew that would piss you off, piss Paul off, people like that instantly. My number 9 is This Low Down, because it's probably the one that I think is closest to being appreciated by other people. It's, when I looked it up, it's Rotten Tomatoes is in the 60s, which is the highest of any on my list. I'm talking about 1988's The Blob remake.
Does that have
Shawnee Smith, now famous for Saw?
Yeah. And doesn't it have, is it Kevin Dillon?
That sounds right. It's been a while since I've watched this one. I first
Lesser Dillon. I'm pretty sure Lesser Dillon.
First saw this, I was a wee kid. I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and it was on, it was the late night movie. So I set up my video cassette recorder to tape it using G-code. I don't know if you remember G-code. it was sick. I fell in love with it. I love this movie. It's so much fun. Scream Factory just recently re-released it on like 4K. So I've got a copy of that on the way because love this movie. Heap of fun. So schlocky. It's really, to me, it balances that line of being totally, in fact, I don't think it counts because it's probably more a comedy, but if I thought of it, I might have Little Shop of Horrors on this list. This kind of straddles that same line where it's just fun.
I know I've seen it, but I don't think I've seen it since like late night TV in the whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever it would have been. So maybe I might check it out again.
All right.
I don't know why I'm so certain that Kevin Dillon's in it, because I'm not, it's just in my mind. Oh, the problem, that's Kevin Dillon. I should probably check that. But yeah, no, I'll add that to the list and check it out again.
All right. Your number 9.
My number 9, I guarantee no one has seen. It's a movie called Chompy and the Girls.
Okay. Firstly, I can confirm it was Kevin Dillon. Yes. But okay, Chompy and the Girls. What a name.
It is by, written and directed by Sky Brabrand.
Before you even mention anything about the movie, this sounds to me like the kind of movie that Jason from Binge Movie would talk about. And I said to you earlier in the week, if we'd thought about it early enough, we should have got him on. Because he is the king of shitty, schlocky, B-grade horror movies that nobody's ever heard of. He'll be like, oh, this movie played at one drive-in in West Virginia in 1972, and it's fucking sick. And I'll be like, thanks, Jason.
Look. I can tell you, he hasn't logged it on Letterboxd. No one that I am friends with or follow on Letterboxd has logged this film, apart from me and my 3.5-star review.
Okay.
Chompy and the Girls is about a kind of troubled young woman, wrong side of the tracks, sort of a young woman who meets her estranged father who didn't know she existed. But she tracks him down and meets him. But their first encounter goes slightly awry when they see a man across the other side of the park swallow a little girl whole.
Yep. Okay.
And it then becomes them trying to work out who, what they name Chompy is, while outrunning him. And if that sounds wild, and it's all practical effects. So if you can imagine a almost zero budget film that yep. uses practical effects to show you, not off screen,
yep.
a man swallowing another person.
I'm in. I got to look for this.
This movie is fucking wild. But if you think that premise sounds wild, where it goes is fucking next level weird. I was so impressed with this. It's really apparently no budget.
Okay.
The acting and everything is really good. The writing is very good. There's some really funny dialogue and some really good delivery. The practical effects are pretty cheesy, but they really work.
It seems to me like you've used this list more to highlight maybe movies other people haven't heard of. I've used this list just to embarrass myself by admitting the kind of shit that I enjoy. My number 8 is one that cracked Roger Ebert's list of the worst horror movies ever made. It's 2001's remake of 13 Ghosts. Do you remember this
That's
one?
A good film.
It's a fucking great film. Thank you. Thank you. It's that good fun.
I was expecting William Castle to, like Castle Pictures, to really take off. And I'm sure the intent was to just keep remaking the old William Castle films under the new Castle banner, because I think it's his grandson maybe who's behind all of those.
Directed by Steve Beck in his directorial debut. I don't know whether young Castle had something to do with it.
Because it
produced by Zemeckis and Joel Silver. So
It started with the remake of House on Haunted Hill that had Ali Larter and everyone in it, and then this followed pretty quickly on.
You've got Tony Shalhoub, Matthew Lillard, who I love, Shannon Elizabeth, fucking God. I mean, good God, Shannon Elizabeth. And this is just a fun time. This is just a fun time at the movies.
It's got some great. Doesn't this have and I do get this and House on Haunted Hill remake kind of blurred together, but isn't it 13 Ghosts that has the kind of Resident Evil style corridor with the panes of glass?
Yeah.
That's great.
Good movie.
That's a good time movie.
Yes.
Good family film.
All right, you're number 8.
All right, I'm going back in time a little bit, and I haven't seen this one for a few years, but it sort of, when thinking about this list, I've decided I really need to rewatch it. Ken Russell's Lair of the White Worm.
Again, have not heard of it.
You don't know this?
No.
This has a very young Peter Capaldi in it and a very young Hugh Grant, and it's sort of a folk horror, I guess.
I like folk horror.
Sort of English, well-to-do countryside, where the lady of the house of the local manor, played by Amanda Donohoe, turns out to be a sort of serpentine, vampiric creature of sorts, and there's some folk pagan sacrificey undertones to the story, but it's basically it's an excuse to have kind of well-to-do, prim, proper, early 20s Peter Capaldi and Hugh Grant and their female companions dealing with supernatural shit and fangs and serpents and stuff. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
All right, I'll check it out. Hugh Grant, never even heard of it. Oh, my number 7 is one that I think most people would have heard of. This is one that, again, I feel the least guilty about for enjoying. But when I looked it up, it did sadly have a very low audience score. It's probably the film I've seen the most on this list because I just fucking adore it. It's The Faculty.
Who doesn't like The Faculty?
Apparently people don't like The Faculty.
The Faculty's awesome.
It's a fucking great film. I was lucky enough very recently, myself and Emily Higgins from the Tasteless podcast, we've just recorded a commentary track for it.
What?
Yeah, yeah, for an upcoming Blu-ray release.
Did I know about that? Did I know about that?
I don't know.
What did you do? Did you do something between it and... the 51 Conquest of Earth or whatever.
Yeah, movie, we've whatever done it. We've done quite a few now. We did Tales of the Dark Side, Steve Buscemi and Julianne
Moore. Maybe that's
Moore.
What I'm... I know there was one because I said, oh, good, it's something I'll actually enjoy watching.
Yeah, we did Orphan.
You.
We did Orphan. We did the Rings box set.
Oh, that no, Rings is what I'm thinking of, yeah.
But yeah, very lucky. Oh, we did Dracula 2000. But looking up The Faculty, yes, yeah, 6.6 on IMDb and 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, so...
Oh, fuck me.
Which all that tells me is people are dumb. This is a brilliant, brilliant...
I think I've told you fairly recently, I'm bringing back long T-shirts with short T-shirts over the top.
Yeah, yeah. This is a brilliant kind of teen retelling of The Thing, effectively.
Yeah, pretty much.
Aliens take over a school and they're trying to figure out who's who. And instead of doing a blood test, they've got to snort cocaine. It's just, it's a good fucking time.
Drugs are being dealt in big biro cases.
This is a fun, fun movie, which if you're like us who loves... Oh, fantastic cast. And if you love classic horror movies, classic monster movies, old sci-fi, this is so packed with homages to all of them that it's just so much fun. Big 100%. Fan. So that's my number seven, The Faculty.
It's because what is Elijah Wood?
Elijah Wood, Claire Duvall. Who's the attractive one who never did anything
from
else?
Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett. Is it Josh Hartnett?
Oh, Hartnett did it. Yeah. And Jordana Brewster.
Jordana Brewster. Yep. Great cast.
Sean Hatozzi. And then on the teachers, you've got like Piper Laurie. You've got...
Yeah, yeah. You've got fucking Agent Doggett himself, the T-8000.
Yeah, Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, great so film. Good. Anyone out there, if you haven't seen The
Rodriguez
Faculty...
Rodriguez directing before he started doing Spike
Kids
right. movies.
That's right. Great Rodriguez film. If anyone out there hasn't seen it, take my word for it. It's a lot of fun.
Really good.
Don't listen to reviews. It's really, really good. All right.
Yeah. Never listen to reviews.
You're number seven.
Ours. ours are gold. Number seven. All right. So here's where I've got one of the several where I rate this film really quite highly.
Yeah.
Common consensus was that it was mediocre as fuck and was nowhere near as good as all the things it was trying to ape.
Yeah.
It's a film called Morgan.
I've not heard of it.
Very, 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 I'm going to say homaging, not
okay.
stealing, from yeah. Ex Machina. It's concerns a synthetically created girl or young lady who has been genetically engineered and is living in this facility and being studied by scientists who are fond of her and treat her as a friend, but she is kept... much as Alicia Vikander is in Ex Machina, you know, she's living in captivity and being studied. And the scientist team includes Michelle Yeoh. It includes...
Oh, wow.
Our protagonist in the film is Kate Mara. She's a agent who's or an operative who's been sent in to because there's been a death at this scientific compound where they've got this sort of synthetic... girl, genetically engineered girl.
Yeah.
And so she's sent in by the, you know, the company to investigate that. And so she starts out by interviewing all of the scientists that are there, which includes Toby Jones, it's Boyd Holbrook, Michelle Yeoh, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Paul Giamatti.
Shit.
Giamatti's brought in as a psychologist to interview the girl, but yeah, he's in there. The cast is fucking off the chain. Brian Cox is in there, back in the original Hannibal Lecter. And in no way having any bearing on my love of this film, the genetically engineered girl might be played by Anya Taylor-Joy. It starts, and so the first part, sort of for the first act, is Kate Mara comes in and she interviews the girl, Morgan. She then talks to all the scientists, etc. And, you know, you get this very similar, and there's enormous parallels to Ex Machina. So you sort of, is this a human? Is this a machine? Is this a, you know, is she actually sentient, or is she just learning how to respond to things? And then they bring in Giamatti as a psychologist who deliberately tries to antagonize her to get a rise out of her, to gauge emotions, and shit may or may not go completely fucking pear-shaped from that point on. There's a lot of fucking violence and blood, which is lovely. It's a really good cast that I love. And I think, yes, it's very derivative of it, of things like Ex Machina and other things. But what it does, I think it does really well. And the cast are really good. And I think if you leave us, similar to kind of how I felt about The Creator last year, if you leave aside the fact that if you forget that you've seen things that are similar, it's a really, really good film.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why, for some reason, you just reminded me. I've left it off my list, but it's probably not really a horror. I should have had Sphere on here. Fuck, I love Sphere.
Yeah, right. Not a horror. Pure sci-fi.
My number six is where I'm going to cheat a little and throw a franchise. And it is a franchise where there's no question about why I feel guilty about this. It's Species. I was maybe 10 or 11 years old when I saw the first Species film, and I fell completely in love with Natasha Henstridge. And those movies are still just fun to throw on every now and then.
How many? I've seen the original a couple of times. I've never seen any of the sequels.
I've seen three. I don't know if there are more
than
that.
Are they all her? Is she the only?
She's
like
certainly in the first two. Alien? I don't think she's in the third one from memory. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the Species. At least, you know, the first two in particular.
I liked the first one quite a lot from memory, and yeah. I still. It had it's like Michael Madsen and Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, about an extremely attractive alien girl who just needs to mate. that's all it's about.
is it the one that's got Forest Whitaker though, as the psychic-y guy?
That sounds.
I've got a memory of Forest Whitaker, and I think it's Michael Madsen going into a room that literally looks like someone's exploded. There is blood on all the walls, the ceiling, the floor. There is entrails everywhere.
And yeah, Forrest Whitaker, Ben Kingsley, Michael Madsen, Alfred Molina.
Touches his brow like a psychic and then utters the immortal line, "Something bad happened to you."
Yes, that's, you are thinking of the right film. So no that question why it's guilty. Firstly, it's not great. Secondly, there's a lot of nudity, but it's
she's very
good,
pretty, though.
It's a good fun time. Go check out Species. It's better than Alien.
Oh, fucking don't say that.
All right.
Resurrection. Sorry,
your number six.
Number six. All right. This is a film which I had never heard of until friend Jeff Burnham from Cadavercast mentioned it on, he was guesting on another podcast, and I can't think if it was, I don't think it was Binge. He was on somewhere, but he brought a number of films to my attention, one of which was Letters to Satan Claus.
Okay. Which
is as good as the title sounds.
Yeah.
It's a parody of a Hallmark Christmas film.
I'm
so
on
even
board.
Even the poster art, everything looks like a Hallmark Christmas film. And it concerns a woman who when she was younger had left her small, happy Stars Hollow type town, gone off to make it big, and much like Phil Connors, has become a TV reporter off in the big smoke, and then has to come back to the small town to do a story on Christmas shit. Coincidentally, when she was younger in town and all the kids had to write letters to Santa Claus, she'd done that, but she'd misspelt it and written her letter to Satan Claus, and it had gone to the devil. And so when she gets back to town, the devil starts reappearing in answer to this letter that she wrote way back when. And what ensues is a mix of both cheesy Hallmark movie parody and really over-the-top practical gore. It's not great, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. The premise and the delivery and everything. I had a genuinely good time watching this film, but I acknowledge that it's really not very good.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm on board. okay, my number five is the most recent addition to my list. It's one that I only saw for the first time this year, but I enjoyed the heck out of it, and it's made it into regular rotation. It's a film called The Boy from 2016. Have you seen this one?
I don't think I know this one.
Okay, so it stars Lauren Cohen, who is an American over in the UK. She's working as a nanny. She's been hired to look after a child, a small boy. When she gets there, she finds out that the boy is a doll. weird shit starts happening.
Parents mental or something?
Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers. I don't want to tell you anything. They treat this boy as if it's a real live boy, but it's this creepy as fuck kind of porcelain doll. And shit just goes wild.
The boy.
Keen. It had a sequel come out in 2020, which from memory had Katie Holmes in it in the sequel. But
I was going to say the sequel's not The Boys, is it?
But I'm a big fan. 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. No idea why. In fact, here is the Rotten Tomatoes synopsis. The boy could have gone in any number of scary or interesting directions, but instead settles for usual jump scares scattered throughout a pedestrian plot. Don't listen to that, people. It's fucking fun.
I should be checking Rotten Tomatoes scores on these things.
All right, over to your number five, my friend. We're in the top half, well and truly now.
We are. All righty. And unlike the last film, this is one where I genuinely start to, these are good films. I don't care. My number five is a film called Mad Heidi.
Okay.
Which I'm a little bit biased because I did back it on like fucking Indiegogo or Kickstarter or something to help the filmmakers get it made.
Yep.
It is made by Swiss writer-directors, Johan Hartmann and Sandro Klopstein.
Yeah.
And it is the world's first Swissploitation film. it is set in Switzerland, and it concerns a mountain girl named Heidi.
Yeah.
Not the Heidi that we all know from years and years of classic literature. She's abducted by a brutal government that is obsessed with the cheese industry and
fucking hell.
In the words of IMDb, fight a war against a cheese fueled machinery of hate. the president of Switzerland is played by Casper Van Dien, who makes no attempt to not have an American accent, but he's constantly referred to by all his underlings as, oh, my very Swiss leader. the entire country of Switzerland it operates on the cheese industry, and Casper Van Dien as the president has a almost maniacal desire to quash lactose intolerance.
Okay.
And
all right, this has just made it to the top of my watch list, Dave. So I'm on board.
I not only did I back this, I own the 4K. I've got t-shirts. I adored this film. I thought it was the best fun I'd had. Probably the most fun I've had watching a movie in the last few years.
Okay.
It's so much fun.
All right. My number four is probably the best known film on my list. It's so well known that I almost didn't have it on here. Until I looked it up and saw that its Rotten Tomatoes score was in the 30s. And I was like, how is that fucking possible? Because I'm talking about one of the best slashers of the 90s. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hate this. I mean, it had Buffy, so I was a bit biased. And it had, who's Booby girl, what's her name?
Jennifer Love Huge Tits.
That one.
So obviously, coming right off the back of Scream here, this was well and truly cashing in on the teen slasher craze that Scream reinvigorated. We had, you know, heaps. Urban Legend was another one, which I didn't include because I feel like that was a bit better received than this. But I Know What You Did Last Summer, I think it's a great film and it's a lot of fun.
Killer with a Hook, yeah?
With a hook, yeah, in a raincoat, fishing. Yep.
Yeah. So much shit's riffed on that. Can't
exactly.
Be that
there's that great Treehouse of Horror episode of The Simpsons where they accidentally run over Ned Flanders and he comes back with a hook. just a great fun time. Like you alluded to with the cast. I mean, I'm pretty sure Freddie Prinze Jr. is here as well. I think that's where he and Sarah Michelle Gellar met. A really good fun time. I can't get enough of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I haven't seen that. There's sequels to that, aren't there? Which I haven't.
There most indeedly are. There's I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And
I said Flanders insertion there.
Yeah, and I can't remember the third one. It's something like I'm pretty sure I still know what you did 3 summers ago.
No, I think you're going into scary movie territory there. I definitely know what you may have done last
year. So, there you go. That's my number four. So over to your number four, my friend.
My number four is a film called Spare Parts.
Okay, this sounds familiar to me.
There's a few films by that name. I'm talking about the 2020 cheesy body horror semi-sci-fi film. I'll read you the premise here. While traveling on their first American tour, Miss 45, an all-girl punk band, is drugged and kidnapped, and they awaken to find their limbs removed and replaced with crude weaponry and are forced to fight as gladiators for a sadistic town.
Stop talking. You've sold me. I'm in. I'm so in. Is this a low-budget fair?
Oh, yeah. Low budget. It's very gory. It's all practical. They're all like, it's got a Mad Max sort of, you know, axes for hands and that sort of shit with these cute girls.
Yeah.
The weird kind of world that they find themselves in is sort of overseen by this guy called the Emperor, who's played by Julian Richards, who you would absolutely know. He's been in all sorts of stuff. He's been in things like, I think he was in Man of Steel. He's been in Percy Jackson and the Olympians. He's been a shitload of stuff. Absolutely would know him. He's one of these tall, creepy, skinny white dudes who just does creepy, skinny white dude roles.
Yeah.
These cute young 20-something women just wake up to find that they've got like chainsaws for arms and stuff, and they're forced to fight in this gladiatorial arena.
Love that.
While this emperor stands over them going, "The dirt is thirsty."
Hang on, just tell me the name of that one more time. Spare Parts.
Spare Parts.
I'm watching that tonight.
Spare Parts from 2020.
I'm in. All right. My number three is another film that I didn't think of as a bad film. And then, you know, I love my monster movies. I'm not going to lie to you. The top three on my list are all monster movies. Quite recently, Noosk and I started Martini Monster Mondays, where on a Monday night I'd make her a martini. I'd say, all right, we're watching this monster movie. And one of the first ones I made her watch, which she had never seen, was Anaconda.
That movie
with
is fucking wild.
J-Lo and Ice Cube and John Voight for some fucked up reason, giving the worst performance of his life. Oh,
what nationality is he?
I want to say Seth African or something, but he's terrible. This movie is so wild. Really, really, really early CG in some scenes with this completely fake CG snake popping out, but lots of practical effects as well.
It's better than the bits with the practical effects, though, with this ridiculous...
Oh, man.
It's like a child's toy rubber snake.
I'm on board. I love Anaconda. It's so much fun. It's so silly. It's just, it's fucking great. If you haven't seen it, go check out Anaconda for some good 90s goodness.
Definitely was in my honorable mentions, as was, I'm not going to mention it because it might be one of your top two, because it's also a quote-unquote monster / large animal movie.
Is it a large insect movie?
No, it's more of the crocodilian variety.
Oh, God, no, that's not guilty. Lake Placid? Fuck no. That's just a good movie.
fucking bonkers. It is
that's just a good
movie.
You
need to rewatch Lake Placid.
I watched it three months ago. I don't even consider that a guilty pleasure. Same with Deep Blue Sea. Those movies fucking slap. All right.
Deep Blue Sea's fucking terrible.
Over to you. Have you seen
the Lake Placid sequel, the one with Tim Rosen and Cat Barrel? Where
no, I've not.
The crocodiles have swum across the ocean from whatever Southeast Asian place they originated from,
yep,
and are now in America somewhere in a nuclear facility that environmentalists break into?
No, but that sounds sick. All right, your number number three.
Number three is a film called Yummy.
Yummy. Okay.
Yummy. Yummy's a fairly recent, it's 2019, an orgy of blood, violence, and fun in which a young couple travel to a shabby Eastern European hospital for plastic surgery.
Okay, all right.
Once there, things unravel, and the tagline is facelifts, boob jobs, and zombies.
Yes, I'm in. I'm so in.
So not only is it a slightly cheesy zombies invading a hospital, dodgy doctors doing dodgy things, but it's all done with hilarious Eastern European accents.
Yeah.
It's not good, but oh my God, it's fucking hilarious. It's so much fun.
Speaking of not good, but fucking hilarious, my number two is another monster movie. It is Eight-Legged Freaks.
Does anyone not think this isn't a masterpiece?
With David Arquette, a very young Scarlett Johansson. It is a it is a masterpiece. At one point,
this shits on arachnophobia.
Oh, it's more fun. I love arachnophobia, but this is more fun. At one point, David Arquette literally is like shooting guns at these creatures from the ceiling of a mall, and he's literally yelling out, "Back off, you eight-legged freaks!" Including the title of a movie always wins me over.
Yeah. Oh, people.
It's
racing down a mine shaft on an ATV being pursued by spiders.
It's so much fun.
It's about as good as this shit gets.
It very much takes the route that, like, Tremors took, which, again, I'm not. Tremors is not a guilty pleasure. Tremors is a great fucking movie. But this very much goes that small town. Middle of nowhere. Yeah. Overtaken, so you've got the lousy sheriff.
Of small town characters, which is kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
Like The Mist or Tremors. And then, as you say, you've got elements, you know, little homage scenes to Dawn of the Dead.
This movie knows 100% what it is. It's full homage, it's 50s B movie.
Really good film.
Yeah, it's like Attack of the Crabs or Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, all of those classic monster movies. It is such an homage and a love letter to those, which is such a wanky saying. I hate when someone says it's a love letter to something. But this genuinely is. And, like, sure, it was poorly received because if you don't like these kind of movies, this is not a good movie.
This is kind of like a Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
100%.
This is made for the people it's made for, and anyone that isn't those people can just fuck off because they don't care about you.
And that's why it's my number two, because I adore this movie so much. It's so much fun. All right, your number two. Let's top
my
this
number
off.
Two, very similar vein. The people that this is made for probably all give it 5 stars and think it's amazing.
Yeah.
If you're not in that audience, you would think this is a B-grade schlocky piece of shit. And it's a film called Psycho Gorman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Psycho Gorman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
have
quite
you got
recent.
To this yet? I know you hadn't seen it. This is so – if you like
this is
kind
a fun
of schlocky
ride.
Horror,
this
will be the best film you've seen in years. It's so much fun. Evil monster comes to Earth tied to this mystical gem, and the most annoying little girl in the world finds the mystical gem and can control the monster and use it to do her bidding. And it's part kind of cheesy 80s sci-fi movie. It's part gory practical effects horror movie. But it's just hilarious. It's gory. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
If you like this sort of stuff, and you either know that you do or you know that you don't, but if you do and you haven't seen Psycho Goreman, you really need to do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
As they used to say.
Yeah, it's a fun ride.
It's a fucking good time.
All right. My number one, no doubt, is the movie that I feel the most guilty for enjoying. Because I genuinely do. Nobody should watch this movie. Nobody should like this movie. Are you familiar with filmmaker Jim Wynorski?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you got to be. Jim Wynorski, he's made over 150 movies, most famous for making B movies and exploitation movies. I'm certain aforementioned.
Okay. I'm sure I know some of his work.
Aforementioned Jason from Binge Movies would 100% know Jim Wynorski and probably tell me I'm a fucking idiot. But he makes almost porn. Like, it's so exploitation-y. He made up the Bear Wench Project, Paranoia's Activity.
You said almost. This sounds like just literal porn.
Okay, no. Are you familiar with Deathstalker?
Yeah.
Okay, he made Deathstalker too. He made Chopping Mall.
Are you familiar with Deathstalker? Well, he made Deathstalker too.
Are you familiar with Chopping Mall?
Chopping Mall's wild.
So that will give you a taste for what this guy is like.
Okay.
I'm talking about 1994's Dinosaur Island, which is just fucking ridiculous. What he said about it, this is what he called it when he was pitching it. He said it's a very 1950s type of picture, like The Lost Continent, except that we're going to have better dinosaurs and more girls. And that is what this movie is. It's fucking ridiculous. It's about... Yeah, I'm gonna read the plot to you. A U.S. Army captain is flying three misfit deserters home for a court-martial when the airplane has engine trouble and they crash land in the ocean near an uncharted island. There, they find a primitive society of cave women who routinely sacrifice virgins to appease the Great One, the top dog dinosaur on the island. Mistaken for gods as part of a prophecy, the men must destroy the Great One or face death. But meanwhile, they fall in love despite the advice of their queen, who tries to dissuade them from being corrupted by the outsiders' way. It is fucking wild. It's so ridiculous. Fast forward the sex scenes. They're not interesting. But the movie itself is so much fun. It's just so silly. The dinosaur effects are so great. It's all using miniatures and stop motion. It's just a big fan. It's so silly. It's so silly. There's lots of titties.
Called?
Dinosaur Island.
All right. On the list.
It's just like... Just beware, like, there's
John
a lot...
Carney, I'm making a note.
Just beware, there's a lot of titties. Don't watch it when the kids are at home, but fuck, is it funny. It's so silly and outrageous.
I don't mind titties. Titties are fine.
So there you go. That's my number one, Dinosaur Island. What's yours?
All right. Now, of everything that I've spoken about, this is the one that I know has the most hate.
Okay.
From the world in general.
All right.
I'm going to tell you one cast member and see if you can guess it. It has Anya Taylor-Joy in it.
It's not Glass, is it?
No.
Okay.
And I'm offended that you think that I would like that film. No, I am talking, of course, about The New Mutants.
Okay. Yeah, I know that you like this one. I have not seen it. Okay. This is a Marvel movie, isn't it?
It's a Marvel licensed by Fox. In Fred Savage's words, it's shit. look, I will go on record as saying that apart from the Deadpool films and Logan, this is the best movie in the X-Men universe.
Okay.
This is better than every movie with X-Men in the title.
The only X-Men movie I've seen is Logan, and I think it's deeply overrated.
But it's a good film. It's like Mangold. It's not shit.
Okay.
I get that it's a little bit overly lauded as, you know, a masterpiece, and it's not. It's just...
Topher...
it's uncommonly... filled with pathos for a superhero film.
Former co-host of the show, Topher, and I, every now and then we'll watch a terrible movie and we'll just message each other, oh, but you get that it's a Western, right? Because that's what people always say about Logan. There's like, oh, you know, but I don't know if you noticed, it's really a Western. And it's like, just fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, you take a superhero film and you remove the costumes and people automatically think it's a piece of art.
Yeah.
And I think Logan is a very, very good film, and I like James Mangold, but it's just a very good film. It's not a masterpiece or anything.
Yeah.
I think the best films in that X-Men universe to date are the two Deadpool films. And then I would put, you know, Logan and this, and then everything else is fucking daylight in the rearview mirror. The real tragedy about New Mutants is that Josh Boone, the writer-director, had a trilogy of films, all horror films, about the New Mutants, and each one was going to be a different genre of horror film.
Yeah.
And the whole premise of that I thought was fucking so refreshing. It was amazing. It was so well thought out. So, of course, halfway through making the first one, 9 different sets of writers were thrown on him by the studio.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was just eviscerated. So while I like the finished product, I can see the flaws with it. It's not a perfect film. A lot of my love for it is because I so appreciate the vision that he had and what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And what it could have been. But I think the end film is really solid and enjoyable.
Yeah, okay.
It's suitably creepy. There's some genuinely scary bits, not as much as his original thing, but, you know, it surprisingly came out quite well. People rag on the acting. I think Maisie Williams, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Charlie Heaton are all doing accents that are not their own, and I think they all fucking nail them.
Yeah.
They're all really, really good. The rest of the cast are okay.
Yeah.
Blue Hunt, who's the main star who plays Danny Moonstar in it, is fine. She's not great, but Alice Braga is great. She's always great. And the aforementioned Maisie Williams, Anya Taylor-Joy, Charlie Heaton, all really good. The effects are really good.
Yeah.
I think the CG is really good. The big, there's some fucking scary as shit because the whole thing's set in a, what you start out thinking is like a school, not a school, but a place for troubled youth.
Yeah.
To kind of go through therapy, get back on their feet, etc. And so Danny Moonstar's just gone. She's from a Native American whose tribe has been wiped out, including her dad. And so she's ended up at this place and she meets all the other kids who all similarly had troubled backgrounds. But the whole thing is centered around nightmares. So you've got all these scenes where each of them are going into their living out their nightmares, and some of them are really well realized. Some of them are creepy as shit.
Yeah, right.
Anya Taylor-Joy's one is fucking messed up.
Okay.
And then you've got a big CG sort of fight at the end. Fucking great. I really love this film.
I'll check it out.
It's like you could forget that it's a Marvel Universe, X-Men, whatever. Ignore all that. Just see it as a kind of a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors type thing with kids in a mental hospital sort of thing.
Well, there you go. That's our 10. No honorable mentions from me this week because I originally just had 5 and 4 honorable mentions, which I had stretched to 10. Dave, you can give me some honorable mentions, but just the title, nothing about them.
Yep. Almost included Twilight, but that's more guilty than pleasure.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yep. Okay.
Truth or Dare seems to get shit on.
I nearly had that on my list. Yep.
Oh, good man.
As well as Countdown. Yep.
I don't think I like, I don't think I liked Countdown as much. I thought Truth or, oh, which, wait on, which is the one with Elizabeth Lyle from You? That's Countdown.
That's Countdown. It? Truth or Dare is Lucy Hale.
Oh, well, Countdown I liked more than Truth or Dare.
Yep.
Okay. Death Proof / Planet Terror. people yep. seemed to shit on. I thought they were absolutely fine and nailed what they were trying to do.
Yep.
Almost included the Passion of Darkly Noon just as a big fucking bird flip off to Topher.
Yep.
Lake Placid, we mentioned Constantine. Film called Babysitter Must Die.
Yep.
Which is fucking wild. the only other one I had, which was very right until the last minute, was actually on my list, is a old 80s Australian exploitation film called Turkey Shoot.
Okay.
Directed by Ryan Trenchard Green. Is that his name? Trenchard Smith. With Olivia Hussey and Steve Rail's back in it. And it's one of the very early sort of humans as game type things yeah, where you've okay. got yeah. poor people in yellow jumpsuits and then rich people get to hunt them.
That sounds good.
But at the last minute, I love it. It's so 80s and so over the top. But then at the last minute, I sort of thought it's more of a kind of action thriller.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of fake blood and that. But it's really not a horror, yeah. So I kind of dropped it out. But
all right.
If you haven't seen Turkey Shoot, fucking go see Turkey Shoot.
Over to the Pottymouth Radio listener community where we ask for your feedback. Paul Leonidou said Scream, which didn't even cross my mind because there's nothing guilty about Scream.
I was waiting for you to come in on this
Scream
and go,
is so good. I mean, thanks for your contribution, Paul. Your other two definitely fit the bill, Leprechaun and Scary Movie 3.
Leprechaun!
Which, again, I like both of those movies. I really like the whole Scary Movie franchise.
It? I don't. I think after the first Scream film.
Oh, nah, they're fun.
They're all mediocre until 4. And 3 are fucking average.
Nah, they're all good.
What was it? Leprechaun and what else did Paul have?
Scary Movie 3. I don't recall 3, to be honest.
Which is the one where Anna Faris pulls her knickers down and bats fly out because she hasn't had sex in so long.
I think that's the first one.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the whole Scary Movie friend. Even like Scary Movie 5, it's still good fun.
Oh, wait on. Is three the one with Tim Curry?
I think that's 2.
And you've got they Chris Elliott blend. With the little wizard arm.
That's definitely
take,
2.
Take
yeah.
my arm. Take
that's
my
definitely
2.
They all blend together for me. Paul Prezzullo from The Countdown, he said, apparently it's shameful to love Hellraiser 3 Hell on Earth, but I bloody well do. Plus, it's now not. In the vault to be preserved for all time, even that's beyond true. The end times. Of course, referencing, as we said, Jason from Binge Movies. Dia Cole said, Aquaslash, which I haven't heard of. Spiral. I'm guessing she means Spiral from the Book of Saw, which again, I actually quite like that movie. And yeah. Terrifier 2. Terrifier movies are great.
I've got a box set of the Terrifier films and the prequel, whatever it's called. And I've yet to crack any of them. I've still not seen any of those films.
Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast said, number 3, House of Wax, 2005. It's fun and Paris Hilton is hot. Nice. Number 2, Hard Rock Zombies. It's on Tubies. Just trust me. And number 1, House of the Dead. Ooh, Bowl, bad movie masterpiece. Oh.
Jesus, Joey.
Uwe Boll. Man, there's nothing good about an Uwe Boll movie. I'm so sorry, Joey. I'm so sorry.
Although House of the Dead is, if you're going to watch an Uwe Boll film, I reckon House of the Dead's probably one of the least offensive. There's some stuff to enjoy in that because you've got Christian Slater and I think from memory you've got Stephen Dorff as well. There's people in it.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's fucking abysmal, but I think it's more enjoyable than Blood Rain 2 or some of his other shit.
Julio from the Contrarians podcast, we absolutely love Julio. He said Billy's going to talk about Tommy Boy, right? That's horror. Fuck you, Julio. Tommy Boy is one of the best movies of all time, and it is a joyful romp, is how I would describe it. John Amenta from The Pint said,
pleased you didn't trot out Hubie Halloween, though. I was so nervous.
John Amenta from The Pint said, I don't believe in guilty pleasures exactly, but I do think there is some stuff that's so odd or plain not out great that I enjoyed the shit out of it. Society, which I know you're a fan of, Dave.
Was one of my honorable mentions. I didn't bring it up because I remembered that it John was going to mention it.
Chopping Mall. Thank you, John. We're coming back with some Jim Wolinski. And Mandy, it's like a heavy metal album cover came to life after Nick Cage stared at it for 3 hours while on meth.
People generally liked Mandy, though, didn't they? I thought
I didn't. I'm one of the few people who didn't. Yeah.
Didn't even cross my mind for this.
Last word goes to Luke Heumann, who said, absolutely love Wes Craven's 1989 high-concept shocker. Not objectively great, but hugely fun. With Peter Berg.
Seen shocker since it came out.
Yeah, taking things far too seriously. And some scenery chewing from assistant director Skinner. Thank you for the X-Files reference, Luke. I love that. So there you go. That's everything. Next week, we're talking about another horror film, are we? A Shudder original stop motion.
Yep.
And
Can't wait to talk about that.
And then the week after that, we're back with another top. I was going to say five, but I guess we'll talk off mic. Maybe it's 10 doing our top character actors, which should be fun. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can head to pottymouthradio.com and all of our links are there, all of our socials, our email.
Yep.
You can say hello. Check out the rest of the Potty Mouth Network while you're there. There's Hunt for the Perfect nice Album, merch. Where Dave and I talk legendary albums that have no skippable tracks. There's the one where we watched, where Noosk and I are rewatching Friends one episode at a time, and coming very shortly, probably not that shortly, is Time to Die, our Dungeons & Dragons podcast, which so far has been a lot of fun. But we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Go check out Shudder and watch Stop Motion.